This is LiveWired in Calgary. We're already a week deep into the Alberta election, and it's sure to be a wild ride for the next 20-some days. Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining me for this edition of LiveWired in Calgary. I'm your host, Darren Krause, editor at LiveWireCalgary.com. This show is done in partnership with CJSW 90.9 FM and recorded in studio at the University of Calgary on traditional Treaty 7 land. Once again, we've got lots to talk about this month and so little time. We are going to get you up to speed on the election as best we can. As you know, it is a constantly evolving beast. We'll talk about it in the back half of the show. We've also got a story on longtime Calgary sportscaster Ed Whalen and our heartfelt set of recordings from years gone by. It's an interesting one. We talk with his son a little bit later. We also talk with City Councillor Peter DeMong about extended producer responsibility. What's that, you ask? Well, we're going to tell you all about it and what it could mean for recycling fees in Calgary. Of course, we'll tell you what should be on your radar for the upcoming month, so stick around. Follow LiveWire Calgary on Twitter at LiveWire Calgary, on Instagram at LiveWire _ Calgary, and like us on Facebook.
Fans, we are delighted to be back with you for another campaign.
If you've lived in Calgary most of your life, like I have, you'll never forget the voice of iconic Flames TV broadcaster Ed Whalen. It's one you simply have a hard time forgetting. It came as news to me that Ed Whalen was also an accomplished singer. I stumbled across this story via Calgary's social media maven, Crackmax, and it's a story of a series of love songs Ed Whalen had recorded for his wife, Nomi. I talked with Ed's son, Tony Whalen, about the CD and how it's resurfaced once again. So, I mean, I was put onto this story by our wonderful mutual friend, Crackmax. Got to give a shout out there to Crackmax. Yep. Your dad put together some songs for your mom years ago. Maybe tell me about that and then tell me where we're at today with this this CD release.
Well, it's an interesting story because, you know, when everybody thinks of him, they naturally always think of his broadcast voice, and his broadcast voice was incredibly distinctive and what made him stand out from the pack when everybody else was sounding like Lorne Greene back in the day. So everybody's really used to this nasally, you know,
hello hockey fans.
Yeah, that. And the last thing that most people would think of is he's a singer, because I mentioned that to anybody and they're like, really? And kind of cock their head sideways a little bit. So this disc came about years ago. My dad was a big softy and a romantic. Mm-hmm. And he did have some experience singing with a big band behind him, you know, old style swing. And so he recorded these songs specifically for my mom as a gift. And how cool is that? How romantic is that? That's just neat. But these were on a reel-to-reel for years, you know, actual reel-to-reel tape. My mom kept these, you know, squirreled away, hidden away somewhere, and they didn't get played or heard for I don't know how long. And after he passed, we were thinking about these songs and how touching they were and how cool it is to hear Ed Whalen sing. Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, hey, What can we do with this? What can we do with this that's cool? What can we do with this that Eddie would love? And what can we do with this that would generate a little bit of support for one of the causes that he loved to support? So we ended up taking this old reel-to-reel, taking it to a local company to have it remastered and fixed up a little bit. And I mean, there was only so much you can do with a 40-year-old reel of tape, but I think considering its age, it sounds pretty good. And, you know, for a couple of years, I think they were available for purchase at local grocery stores and stuff like that. And we had all the proceeds go to the Alberta Adolescent Recovery Center, which was one of the various charities that was close to Eddie's heart.
So as you mentioned, I mean, your dad, not really known for, you know, maybe his singing voice. You know, we have Stampede Wrestling. We've got his his time as a sports broadcaster, not only for CFAC, whether it was radio or TV, but also, I mean, the Stampede Wrestling as well.
Yep. Oh, yeah. God, and I mean, everybody remembers him for Stampede Wrestling. Lots of Calgarians remember him as the voice of the Flames, but I mean, even my wife knew him as the guy from Stampede Wrestling, and she grew up in Ontario, and her dad would watch it every Saturday. She was terrified to meet him. It was hilarious.
So which of those personas did you, as a kid, enjoy the most? I mean, whether it's Malfunction at the Junction, or whether it's Ring-a-Ding-Dong Dandy, you know, which persona did you find most entertaining?
Well, I don't know if you could call them personas, because the majority of it was just pure Ed. He was just he was happy.
Yeah,
he was hilarious, and I do think that the Ed that you saw on Stampede Wrestling was, how shall I say, Ed with a couple of pots of coffee. he was amped up. He was always energetic. He fed off the power of that crowd, and it showed. It came out of him, and he had a hell of a good time doing that show, which they often referred to as the Colgate Comedy Hour for whatever reason. Because I don't think him and Stu really, this will horrify wrestling fans, but I don't think he and Stu actually took it, you know, uber seriously. They had a good time with it.
Sure, of course. Right? Well, you could tell that. Now, in terms of this CD, I mean, why is it coming to light again today?
Well, for that, I can firmly blame our aforementioned friend Crack Max. Right. Crack Max, they had asked me about the CD, and they said, "Hey, you know, we heard rumors that your dad actually was a decent singer. Can you corroborate this?" And my initial reaction, being my dad's son, was to say, "No, he was a terrible singer," because we ribbed each other all the time. But truth, in fact, he actually had some pretty damn good pipes. And so Crack Max said, "Well, hey, you know, let's why don't we bring this thing to life again and talk about it and just get it out there again that Eddie was a singer, because Calgary loves him, but they might not know about this aspect of him." So here we are.
Henceforth, we have the CD. It's called Songs for Nomi. Obviously, your mom, a longtime justice of the peace here, 6,000 plus marriages that she officiated over.
Yep.
I mean, how dearly does she hold this in her heart?
Oh, hugely, hugely. I mean, she's, I'm 120% positive that she's still got that reel-to-reel buried somewhere up in her house in Canmore. But I mean, this was a hugely special thing. And I thought it was pretty amazing that something as personal as songs that he performed for her was something that she wanted to share with everybody that loved him.
Right. So your dad, he passed away 18 years ago. I know that time goes by, but even Calgarians such as me, you know, the memories stick with us. But aside from the broadcasting angle, what do you remember most about your dad?
Oh, that's a toughie. He was genuine. The Ed, like I was saying, the Ed that you saw on screen was Ed. I hear stories all the time of, you know, "Hey, I saw your dad once in a supermarket," and this story came up recently, actually. "I saw your dad once in a supermarket on 4th Street and Elbow, and the lady in front of him was having trouble managing her kids, and she couldn't find her wallet, and her wallet was in the car, and he just stepped up and he paid for her groceries."
Oh, wow.
And that's Ed. That was him in a nutshell. He was just a nice guy. He loved his community. He loved supporting community causes. He loved kids. And he was real. And he would be more than happy to, you know, give you the time of day if you asked.
Right. I mean, I know that I shared with you my story of your dad, where I was in high school. And I mean, at this time, I didn't really know that I wanted to be a journalist. But still, you know, I would... NHL trade deadline day would come up and I would fire in a phone call to the 2 and 7 newsroom and get Ed Whalen, and I would ask Ed about any of the deadline deals, probably still coming over the teletype back then.
Probably.
You know, so I mean, and he would always obliged, always update me. I would ask him even about some of the rumors, and he would have no problem telling me what was going on in the hockey world. Didn't say, no, son, you know what, I got a job to do today. He would just straight up tell me, and I always thought that was really cool. And obviously, 30 years on, he's, still ingrained in my memory.
And that's very much him. He was 100% a giver. In fact, my mom would occasionally give him heck because, as you can imagine, as well known as he was in our part of the world, he would get asked to do a lot of speaking engagements. I can't even relate how many just high school graduation ceremonies he was asked to speak at over the years. And my mom always needled him and said, you know, you should be charging for this. You should be charging for this. Nope. Wouldn't hear a word of it because it's the community. And he was all about giving back to the community. He was lousy at being a taker.
Well, I mean, he's still giving back. We've got the CD here. I mean, how many copies are still left of this and can people still get them?
You know, I personally probably have about, I want to say 40 of them. My mom may have some more squirreled away. And outside of that, that's probably about it at the moment. You know, unless we found a reason to replicate more of them, should people suddenly go, hey, I really want to hear this. Yeah, there's not a lot of them in existence.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great story. It's great that you could share it with me. I know that Ed Whalen has, you know, a deep, deep history and connection to a lot of Calgarians. So, Tony, I'd like to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing with me this story about the CD.
Absolute pleasure. Glad to talk about it.
Are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or bright, 'cause I only have eyes for you, dear.
One of the most common Calgary pet peeves is property taxes. Now, while we have some of the lowest property taxes in Canada, there are a lot of additional fees that are paid to the city for certain services. One of those is the recycling fees for blue, black, and green bin pickups. Calgary Councillor Peter DeMong is pushing for the province to adopt something called an extended producer responsibility. And he says if adopted, it could virtually eliminate the need for Calgarians to be burdened with those monthly recycling costs. Have a listen to our interview. Maybe first off, tell me a little bit about what the extended producer responsibility is.
Simply put, an EPR shifts the responsibility and the costs of recycling material back to the producer as opposed to the consumer. Now, the consumer does pay for it in the cost of the material at the shelf. But that's a much better way of doing it rather than simply charging them a fee to take it away, which is what we do now. An EPR empowers the producers to have not just the responsibility, but the ability to change the packaging because they are the ones that are responsible for it its entire life cycle. So if you can get them to be the ones that have to deal with it at the end state, it's in their best interests to manage it as best they can, to use the right material, to use the recycled material in their new product material.
So explain to me how that process will work, like from package to consumer to end process.
It's not much different than what you've got now. It's a matter of who's paying the bill. So you're still going to have a blue bin. You're still going to be putting recycling material into your blue bin. And the city may end up still picking it up and taking it to the facility that sorts it. But the cost responsibility would be paid for by the big producers of these. I mean, most of the costs are well funded by the large input companies. So they would create a company of sorts that would be responsible for paying the bills of these costs. And like I said, we're already funding this material, so these companies would basically be using the $65-75 million a year, whatever that is for Alberta, in for overall Alberta, to pay. Whether the municipalities go out and continue to do their jobs as far as picking up the recycling, or whether they decide to say, no, we want you to take over, and then that organization, the CSSA, would contract out to, you know, Progressive Waste or whoever else is actually wanting to do the bidding, and they will do the distribution themselves now.
So, I mean, long and short of it is, if we were to get the EPR in Alberta, we could be subsidizing to some extent our recycling services here in Calgary.
Well, actually, my goal is to make it so that no homeowner pays a bill for the blue bin anymore.
Right.
I want to save them that $110 a year and say, you know what, we shouldn't be paying for it, because, as I go back to the other point, because you're already paying for it when you're going shopping every day. So it's trying to get around that mindset that there's going to be a cost to this. There is no cost to this because it's already being paid for. The best process to try to make sure that products actually get recycled.
Okay.
If the producers are not able to be in control of the product stream, A, they won't be interested in adapting their product to minimize the costs, because right now they do whatever they want, and the city of Calgary or the municipalities have to deal with the end product. And we're not necessarily suited for that. We can't say, oh, this material is contaminated because it's plastic on top of cardboard and they're sealed together with glue. We can't recycle that, so it just goes straight into the landfill. Whereas if the producers are responsible for that product, they will eventually turn around and go, well, why would I actually tape this to this cardboard onto the plastic or glue it on when I could simply just have it as a cardboard insert, and then the two of them are recyclable and I no longer have to actually pay for the landfilling of it. So in that respect, they would be more, they're empowered to actually change the product stream.
So then it is like the end result is potentially twofold: save taxpayers the money on recycling, but also push the producers in the direction of, hey, if you don't want this, then improve your packaging.
Exactly. And I wouldn't even call it pushing. I would call it empowering.
Right.
Because it's no longer a matter of a municipality or any other level of government saying, you have to do this, or we're going to push you to go that direction. It's simply saying, it's your responsibility now. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to actually pay more for it, by all means, you can do that if you want. But for the most part, they're going to want to. It's what businesses do. They adapt, they streamline, they find the best, cheapest, easiest way of doing the products. And if we empower them to find a better way, they're going to, because they don't want to pay the money if they don't have to.
So are there different, like, can provinces set the rates that they...
Unfortunately, they're the only ones that can.
Oh, okay.
It is a provincial mandate. I couldn't change this if I wanted from a municipal point of view. It has to be provincially done. It is under the bailiwick of the provinces.
Demong has the support of other municipalities in Alberta, and they are pushing the province to take action. Also last week, his office issued a statement pushing for this to be a provincial election issue. Now, I did get a response from the province when I was working on this story prior to the election, and here's what it said. We know there are challenges with the current recycling system. This is an issue that is important to our government. We have just completed the process of amalgamating the Alberta Recycling Management Authority and the Alberta Used Oil Management Association and appointed a new chair who will begin work soon to address these long-standing issues. We are working with municipalities and industry to determine the best way forward that protects consumers and the environment. Any changes to recycling in Alberta will only be done after full engagement with Albertans. Engagement is planned for an extended producer responsibility framework and regulated EPR programs for agricultural plastics, packaging, and printed paper. I did follow up with the Alberta NDP, also the UCP, and the Alberta Party to see what their stance is on the extended producer responsibility. Still have yet to get a response, though I know the UCP did say that they would try to make something available to me. But it's interesting if it is an election issue. This is money that could be directly put back in Albertans' pockets through the recycling fees. I know that most municipalities in Alberta pay them, or their rate payers pay them. But if you just go a little bit west over into BC, apparently none of the municipalities there pay recycling fees because it is all put back on the producers to pay for it. And there is a fund that's available in order to cover those costs. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, and in the coming months, if this does become an issue that's important to the province. All right, we've got a busy back half of the month in On Your Radar. We'll start off a little soft. Of course, 420 comes up this month, and it probably takes on a little bit of a different meaning this year as it's the first year with legalized pot. Of course, it happens April 20th. So later on in the month, we've got the Calgary Underground Film Festival. That goes from April 22nd to 28th. And, of course, we've got April 25th to 28th is the Calgary Comic and Entertainment Expo. The big date in April is Election Day, April 16th. Mark it on your calendars. And I'm going to take this opportunity to make a pitch to you, my listeners, to get out there and vote. But more importantly, I want you to get out there and get educated on the issues. It's far too easy to get caught in the back and forth sniping of politicians. But find out the things that you care about. Find out the issues that you care about, the ones that affect you, the ones that impact you, and decide which candidate actually best represents your views. You have a responsibility to not only the city and the province, but to yourself to make sure that when you cast your vote, you're doing so in a way that you can feel good about the choice that you've made. Not only does your future depend on this, but also the livelihood of the province. And that's a perfect segue into our last segment on the Alberta election.
Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? That's the question Albertans will be asking when they choose their next government on April 16th. And for the vast majority of Albertans, the answer is no.
In a monthly program, it is tough to stay on top of an Alberta election that is evolving day by day. What comes out of my mouth as I record today could have flipped on its ear by later in the afternoon. But let's take a look at how this is shaping up so far. From the opening clip, Jason Kenney is very clearly focusing on Alberta's economy and jobs. In fact, his campaign launch speech, which he did from an industrial yard in Leduc, Alberta, he mentioned jobs, the economy, and pipelines 31 times combined. That's compared with 11 in Rachel Notley's campaign launch speech. Read into that what you will. I don't think it's any secret that the UCP is going to pound the NDP on their economic record in Alberta. That's their message. Albertans are still out of jobs. There are no pipelines. We are in massive debt. We hit the streets late last week for Livewire Calgary to ask people what the most important issue was to them this Alberta election. Those who spoke with us overwhelmingly said jobs and the economy, jobs and the economy, jobs and the economy, over and over and over again. Now, on the flip side, Rachel Notley's opening speech was very much targeted towards Jason Kenney and his fitness to be leader of today's Alberta. Here's a clip from her campaign speech.
It's a choice about who is going to be the premier of Alberta and who is fit to be the premier of Alberta. Me? The question is this: do Albertans stick together or do we turn on each other? Jason Kenney wants two Albertas, one for the wealthy and one for the rest of us.
During the speech, Rachel Notley refers to, quote, Kenney the most after the words Alberta and Albertans. It's become clear what the approach is with their attack ad on Jason Kenney and his blatant lobbying against LGBT rights in San Francisco during the AIDS epidemic, that they're painting a picture of Kenney and the UCP that they are not the right choice in Alberta. It was further compounded by a video they released late last week after sending a documentarian down to talk with people affected by Jason Kenney's anti-LGBT lobbying efforts. Yeah, like I said, it's pretty clear how the NDP's attack is shaping up during this election. And we're just in the first week. It's interesting because in conversations I have with people, few people actually like Jason Kenney. And most people like Rachel Notley. She's a woman you could sit down and have a beer with and probably have a good time. Those same people say, however, they'd prefer a conservative government over an NDP government. And once again, it does come back to jobs and the economy. That could be what this election comes down to. And I mean, you can even point it back to the signs that the NDP is using. They are really playing up Rachel Notley's likability, and they're using her as a foil for Jason Kenney as the evil leader of the United Conservative Party. So right now, recent polling has the UCP well out in front. But the most recent polls also show that the gap between the Conservatives and the New Democrats could be closing. Now, I should say that the increase in NDP support appears to be coming in ridings where they already have a stronghold, mostly in the Edmonton area. But what will be interesting to watch is the impact of the Freedom Conservative Party, of course, led by former UCP member Derek Fildebrand, and what potential vote-splitting impact that may have on the Conservative position in some ridings. Also, whether or not the Alberta Party or Liberal Party will do enough to siphon off some votes from the centrist portion of both the NDP and the UCP. I mean, if you're not on the extreme right or left, are the Alberta or Liberal parties a viable place to park your votes? It'll be interesting to see. We've got another roughly 3 weeks left before vote day, so there's a lot of things that are going to come out. As I mentioned in On Your Radar, please take the time to go and get educated on the issues that matter to you. Find out what your candidates stand for. Question them. Ask them. Research. Go to all sorts of media outlets. Find out what the information is that you need so you can make an informed decision on April 16th. For information on polling stations, what riding you're in, and even some information on directing you to the candidates who are in your riding, you can always go to elections.ab.ca. They will have all of the information and they will have it in an unbiased form. So, once again, I'm going to give you a reminder, April 16th, mark it in your calendar, put it in your smartphone so it pops up with a reminder. Get out there and vote. Your employers need to give you time off to vote. I encourage you. Please go out and vote. That's a wrap on another show. Thanks so much for joining me. I'd also like to thank Tony Whalen and Calgary City Councillor Peter DeMong for their time and their stories this month. When I return next month, we'll have an election result and be able to start looking ahead at what it might mean here in Calgary and across Alberta. I look forward to that conversation. So long.